It's a great joy to look back and think of how the Lord led us all these 38 years. It was in this month of August that the church was born right here in 16, DeCosta Square, Brother Zach and Stanley's home. And I remember that day we didn't know that it would happen, but we believed God was leading us. And that was the day that the church was born, August 17, 1975. And we celebrate 38 years of the church. We're moving into another generation in a year or two. Next year we move into our 48th year, complete 39 years, and we trust that we'll have a bigger place. We don't have all these dear folks sitting up there on the second floor, and on the first floor we can all be together. We really thank the Lord. He has made provision for that, so we can really celebrate a year of jubilee, 40 years as a generation that God has blessed us as we move on, seek to serve the purpose of God in these last days. And the result of being, whether it's 38 years or 1 year in the church, the result should be what we have up here. Therefore, it says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Overflowing. That's what's on my heart for us as a church as we move on. Overflowing with gratitude. Not just filled with gratitude, but overflowing with gratitude. And that's what the church should be. You know, that we're not just a dam. We collect and collect. It is a river. The river that flows through the church. That's, you see there, it says, Jesus said we are to be the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And that's what we have seen. But the light has spread through us to different parts of the world, to different parts in India. And we thank the Lord for that. And so on my heart, I want to stir up, stimulate us to a life of gratitude. We are living in days when Paul warned that people will be ungrateful. We are seeing that. It's not just saying thank you, not just writing letters or emails of thank you. It's more than that. It's an attitude. Gratitude is an attitude. And that's what I want you to see. We want to look at that from the Living Bible. It's so beautifully put there. I'll ask Padma to put it on the screen. You can put those lights up there. So you can see it. Follow it in your Bible. This is Colossians chapter 2. It is in verses 2 to 7. It's from the Living Bible. I'd like to read it to you from that. It says, you can follow on the screen or in your Bible. It says, this is what I've asked of God for you, that you will be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love, and that you will have the rich experience of knowing Christ with real certainty and clear understanding. For God's secret plan, now at last made known, is Christ Himself. In Him lie hidden all the mighty untapped treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm saying this because I'm afraid that someone may fool you with smooth talk. Paul had that same fear for the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians 11. And he says, for though I am far away from you, my heart is with you. Happy because you're getting along so well. Happy because of your strong faith in Christ. And now just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust Him too for each day's problems. Live in vital union with Him. Let your roots grow down into Him and draw up nourishment from Him. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all He has done. Oh, like it says in Bibles, we have the version we have, overflowing with gratitude. Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all that He has done. That's how it must be, my brothers and sisters, and I thank God that that's how it is in my heart. All these 38 years, we've gone through ups and downs, we've gone through trials, we've gone through many difficulties as a family, we've had our times of problems and trials, but through it all, the Lord has led us, brought us into a large place, and through it all, the Lord has kept us grateful. Overflowed, our hearts overflow with gratitude. And that's how it must be, my brothers and sisters. Then I know that I'm going in the right direction. Then I know whether I'm here 38 years from the beginning. There are just perhaps one or two here who are here 38 years. Makes no difference whether it's 38 years, like I said, or whether it's 1 year, or you just come in a few months. But your heart is full of thankfulness, of gratitude, because of what God has done, because of what Jesus has done, and because of what you receive here in the church. And to maintain that, to maintain it. And for that to happen, you know, for something to overflow, it has to be filled. Whatever it is. If it's water, you fill a vessel with water, it will overflow. Water will overflow. You fill it with oil, oil will overflow. You fill it with tea or coffee, that's what will overflow. So what's being filled in? If it's filled with complaining and grumbling and resentment, that is what will overflow. James speaks about that, the overflow of malice. He says, put it away. So I have to make sure what is being filled in to my heart if this is to happen. If gratitude is to overflow from my heart, then thankfulness and gratitude must be flowing into my heart for it to flow out. Something cannot overflow unless it is being filled. And we have to see what is it that's filling my heart. However long I've been in this church, what is it that fills my heart? Criticism? You look around, you criticize, you judge, even though we've heard so much about not judging one another. You pass judgment upon others. You pass judgment on the leadership. The elders can never be perfect. We'll never be perfect. There is no perfect elder, neither Brother Zach. He has said that many times, so you didn't know myself. There are imperfections in all of us. I hope you recognize there are imperfections in you, which people have to bear with. I know there are imperfections with me that my dear wife has to bear with. I'm grateful. I don't complain. I don't pass judgment. And if I see others fail, and I see weaknesses in them which perhaps they don't see, I won't pass judgment. I will seek to deal with them gently. Like David said, like we taught of last Sunday. Deal with the young man gently. We spoke about what a need there is among us, my brothers and sisters, to be gentle with each other, to be gentle with our partners, with our children. We discipline them. But there's need for understanding and gentleness. I hope we recognize that. And if I am really grateful for all that He has done, I would learn to be gentle and understanding with others. So that is what I have to recognize. That is what I have to see. What is it that's filling my heart? Romans chapter 5. We looked at this many times. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. You know, what fills my heart is what I allowed to be poured into my heart. Romans 5, 5. It says that hope does not disappoint us, it says before that, because the love of God is being poured into my heart through the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5, and we read from verse 3. want to read that to you from the Message Bible. It says we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to be patient, and patience develops strength of character in us and helps us trust God more each time we use it, until finally our hope and faith are strong and steady. Then when that happens, we're able to hold our heads high no matter what happens, and know that all is well, for we know how dearly God loves us, and we feel this warm love everywhere within us because God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with this love. The love of God is poured out, it says, within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And that's what happens. The love of God is poured into my heart. Not just when I came to Him in repentance and faith. All of us, we know from where we have been pulled out, from what pit we have been pulled out. I know from the kind of pit that I've been pulled out. I never want to forget that. But I can be so thankful in the beginning, but I lose that sense of thankfulness. I lose that sense of gratitude as time goes on. And like, you know, that English saying goes, familiarity breeds contempt. That's the other thing that happens if gratitude, if the love of God is not poured into my heart. Familiarity breeds contempt. Sadly, you know, that happens to some people. Some where we've been sat here for many years. And I never want that to happen to me. I never want my heart to be filled with contempt or criticism or judgmentalism. I want my heart to be filled with gratitude. I want it to overflow. You know, stagnant water begins to smell and breed germs. And if I stagnate, it will not take long when the fragrance of Christ disappears from my life and another fragrance, another smell, another stink comes. Because I've stagnated. I'm hearing and hearing, receiving and receiving, and nothing is flowing out. And all my life is filled is with criticism and judgment and my opinions. I can be so full of that is what flows out of my life. And if I have eyes to see it in my conversation and what I say to others, what I speak in my home, that's what fills my heart. What I speak at the dining table, what occupies my heart is what I speak when I'm with my buddies, with those who I can let, like the saying goes, let my hair down. No, my brothers and sisters, let's really check ourselves. Let's really see whether the love of God is being continuously poured into our hearts like it was in the beginning. Poured into my heart, and it's flowing through, flowing from me with gratitude. And so God knows how to take care of that, you know. We read in Romans in chapter 5 and verse 3 that when we run into problems and trials, we know they are good for us. The Message Bible says they are good for us. Because God doesn't want you and me to stagnate. He wants me to taste His love, to see how I can see how good He is. That's the other thing we're going to look at. To the love of God to be poured into my heart, that it flows out of me. And that should never stop. I never stagnate. God said that He would punish those in Jerusalem who rested on their knees, who stagnated. We suffer for stagnation. Do you know that? We begin to smell. We begin to breathe germs. And that can happen. And we need to be on guard to make sure that the love of God is continuously poured into my heart. Like Jesus said to that Samaritan woman who was tired of life, and He offered her living water. And Jesus said in John chapter 4, verses 13 to 15, Jesus replied to her and said, where can you, you know, you have nothing to draw with, how can you give me this water? And Jesus said in the Living Bible, said, the people soon became thirsty again after drinking this water. But the water that I give them, He said, becomes a perpetual spring within them, watering them forever with eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me some of that water that I'll never be thirsty again and I won't have to make this long trip out here every day. You make a long trip out here to the meetings. That's good. But I hope that what you receive flows out of you, that it fills you with thanksgiving. You don't come to pass judgment. You don't come to have your own opinion. That you come and whatever you receive and whoever you hear, that on Wednesdays you come and you're not passing judgment on the young people who speak. Their English may be bad, their grammar may be poor. But then, if you have a ear to hear, you can receive from ones who don't speak such good English, whose grammar is pretty poor, who don't use the right words. But you taste their spirit and that you can be thankful for them. I know that's how it's been with me. I can say that before God. And on the last day of the feast, you know, Jesus cried out there in the midst of all the religious people. And Jesus stood and cried out in John chapter 7. He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the Spirit, it says, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So I want you to see there the picture. It's a river, something that's flowing, not stagnating, that's not collecting. It's flowing. And that's how it must be, my brothers and sisters, in your heart and mine. And I want you to see that it's not possible to give thanks always, like the scripture exhorts us to, or to overflow with gratitude, unless we are immersed in the Holy Spirit, just as we were immersed in water. That's what baptism means. And baptism means immersion. You were immersed in water. You were soaked. You wanted so much to be baptized in water. But I want to ask all of you here this morning, have you been immersed in the Holy Spirit? That longing to be baptized in water, to be immersed in water, is that longing to be immersed in the Holy Spirit, has it produced some results? Have you been immersed in the Holy Spirit? Because otherwise, there is no way, I tell you, there's no way that you can have gratitude in your heart. There's no way that you can always give thanks. It's only the Holy Spirit that can help us to do that. It's just when the Spirit of God comes upon you and me, He makes you into another man, into another woman. And I want you to see that if you've been in this church and you've never had that longing, you're satisfied you went into this tank, you were immersed here, but you never had the longing to be immersed in the Holy Spirit, no wonder you're full of complaints. No wonder you grumble. No wonder you keep grudges and resentment. My dear brother and sister, don't wait for another year. And sadly, if you've been here 25, 30, 35, 38 years and you've never been immersed in the Holy Spirit, or even if you came in yesterday. And I want to say to you, we see it clearly in scriptures. It says Jesus spoke this of the Spirit, because the Spirit was not yet poured out. Rivers must flow from our lives. And thankfulness is a clear sign that I have been immersed in the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? Thankfulness and gratitude is the one clear sign that I have been immersed in the Holy Spirit. I don't have to even speak in tongues. If you even speak in your mother tongue, thankfulness and praise, that's more than enough. If thanks and praise can come forth from my heart in my mother tongue, never mind if you don't speak in tongues. But like Paul says, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. So I want you to see that that's how it is, that unless I'm immersed in the Holy Spirit, gratitude cannot flow out of my heart. Sooner or later, I'll begin to complain or grumble. You know, when you have something new, you're taken up with it. And when you come new to the church, you're taken up with a lot of things here. But as time goes on, like I said a little while ago, familiarity breeds contempt. Then you begin to complain and grumble. And the problem is not that, oh, I'm going to stop complaining, I'm going to stop grumbling, I'm going to learn to give thanks. And you read books about giving thanks always. That's not the answer, my brother and sister. We need to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. This church began not with a doctrine, with the reality. The Spirit came upon us when we were in the denominational church. And they didn't want, like they said, that Pentecostal doctrine. But it was not a doctrine, it was a truth, it was a reality that changed our lives. And that's what brought us out, because we wanted more of God. So I wanted to see that, check ourselves this morning, is gratitude flowing out of your life? Is there a flow, overflow of gratitude? Maybe at one time it was there, but it stopped now. Something has stopped it. If it doesn't flow, there are leaks. So nothing to overflow. I pray that you'll do something about it. You seek God. You go to Jesus. Lord, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Immerse me in the Holy Spirit. That was the beginning of this church. And that's what's preserved us through the years. And that's what has kept us united. It's the Holy Spirit that God has poured upon us, that has united us, kept us one. There's unity among the leadership. There's no strife. We've never had strife, Brother Newton and myself, all these years that we've worked together. We never had strife, Brother Zach Newton and myself. No smell of it. We've had differences, sharp differences, but never strife. And we've been grateful for one another. We are quite different. But we have been grateful for one another, and gratitude has flown out of our hearts towards each other and towards many of you also who have been united together with us. So I want you to see that's the first thing. And the second thing I want you to see, that if gratitude is the flow out of our hearts, we need to remind ourselves constantly that God is good. God is good, not sometimes, but all the time. Yes? Very weak. God is good all the time. And not just good, but magnificently and immensely good. I can testify to that. David the psalmist, so many times, he says, give thanks to the Lord for He is good, for His loving kindness endures forever. So many times in the Psalms, give thanks to the Lord for He is good, for His loving kindness is forever. Even though it may not seem in a situation, why is God doing this to me? Why has He allowed this to me? Why has He allowed this in my family? God is good, my brothers and sisters. May not appear to you now, it won't be long when you'll see that He is good, and He's good all the time. And never, never to let that depart from me. Remind myself that God is good. That's His character. He cannot change. And if I'm constantly reminded of that, the love of God will fill my heart and gratitude will flow from my heart. God is good. Not just when it goes well in my job, I get a promotion, I get a raise. It goes well with my children, they get good jobs and all these things. These are all just tidbits, my brothers and sisters. God throws them after us. God is good all the time. What does that mean? I can become like my Father. I can become good also, all the time. It may take a long time. It's taken a long time for me. But I thank God. I've tasted of that. I know that God is good all the time. And I become like Him. So I pray that's how it will be with us, that we remind ourselves God is good. And we give thanks to the Lord, like David says, for He is good. And never let the devil do what he did in the beginning. You know what he did? The first attack, the first temptation, he attacked God's goodness. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. When he came to Eve and said, did God really say? Did God really say? You know, when somebody says that to you, no, why did he say that? He attacked God's goodness. You know, he prepared the ground for his frontal attack. Did God really say this? Why did he say it? He doesn't want you to become like him. You know that? He doesn't want you to become like him. He doesn't want you to know good from evil. At once, he put doubt into Eve's mind. He attacked God's goodness, and then he came with his assault, with the lie. The Bible calls it the lie. What did he say? You will not die. That is the lie that has come down through the centuries. You will not die. You live after your flesh. You do what you like. We live People talk about liberty and about grace. Do what you like. The grace of God is that you will not die. Paul says you will die. If you live after the flesh, you will die. You're about to die. And that's the attack he made, my brothers and sisters. But how did he do that? He struck at the goodness of God. That God was not good. And how does he succeed with you and me? He makes us doubt God's goodness. In a time of trial, when we go to difficulty, makes us doubt. And the devil, when we give in to that, then he is succeeded. We are down. Next, that's what happened to Eve. And we see so many succumb to that. And very few examples in the Bible. We think of Joseph in the Old Testament. We think of Paul in the New Testament. Very few. You know Joseph and all that he had been put through because of the jealousy of his brothers. He could have thought of all, think of it, look at Joseph's life. He could have thought, why has God allowed this to me? But I'd like you to see Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20 to 21. He says there, as for you, speaking to his brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Oh, that's so lovely. Here's an overflow. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Because God is good. In order to bring about this present result, to present many people alive. You know, because of that, the nation of Israel was preserved. Of Joseph's faithfulness, of his faith in God's goodness, you meant evil to me, but God has allowed it to bring about this present result. The nation of Israel exists today because of this man. Think of it, my brothers and sisters. And he says there, I'll provide for you and your little ones. I like that. You know, it didn't stop there. You meant good for me. God has, you meant evil. God meant it for good. I'll provide for you and for your little ones. I'll take care of you. And he spoke kindly to them. That's an overflow. That is an overflow of gratitude and goodness. And Paul says, I know whom I believe. These stand out in the scriptures of the goodness of God. The children of Israel, they couldn't see the goodness of God. They grumbled against Moses and God in the wilderness. Many times they grumbled and tested God. And do we realize that we test God when we grumble? Just like the children of Israel, that when we grumble and complain, we are testing God. Do we recognize that? No, I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 27. Moses reminds them about it. You know, many times they grumble in spite of all they taste of the goodness of God. Moses tells them in verse 27 of Deuteronomy 1. Says, you grumbled in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Because the Lord hates us. Oh, how could they say that? After all they had seen. But do you know, my brothers and sisters, you and I have the same flesh. Because the Lord hates us. And they grumbled in their tents. Do we grumble in our tents? In Psalm 106, verse 24 to 25, says they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe in his word, but grumbled in their tents. They did not listen to the voice of the Lord. We grumble in our tents, in our homes. Nobody's there. Nobody from CFC is there. Good to judge ourselves, my brothers and sisters. I want to judge myself. We grumble at the dining table. We don't, not conscious of it sometimes, but to repent of it. Not think, no, I was just passing my opinion. I grumbled. I complained. If I don't take it, if I don't, it'll spread. They grumbled in their tents. Let's get rid of all grumbling from our tents. Let's instead, you know, let it be, fill our homes, our tents with goodness, with God's goodness. You know, the landowner who had hired different people at different times, when he was paying the people who came first, and they got angry, they grumbled, it says, Matthew chapter 25. And I like what he says there. He says, is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? I can do what I like. I can pay the last ones who came in at 5 o'clock, the same thing I paid you. I can do what I like. It's my own. Why is your eye envious because I am generous? That speaks to my heart. Am I envious of grace that God has given to somebody who's come in later into the church? Somebody younger to me, junior to me, junior, I'm senior, I'm a senior brother. Why am I not recognized? Why am I not thanked and appreciated? We don't say it, my brothers and sisters. We don't speak these things. We lose our testimony. But we know it. We become envious. We don't check it. And after a period of time, it gets manifest. And God manifests is only to help us, to preserve us. And so we can rejoice. If I know God is good and God gives grace to a younger brother, somebody coming much later than me, somebody junior to me, I can rejoice because that's my brother. That's my sister. You can fight for seniority in your workplace, in the government job, yeah. Now in the corporate companies, they don't care about seniority. It's merit. If you do your job well, you get a promotion. The government, you know, you have seniority. People get upset because they don't get a promotion according to their seniority. In the church, there's no seniority. No seniority, not even if my hair turns gray. So let's be rid of grumbling. Grumbling depletes our vessels. We leak out. And there's no more overflow. Let's plug the leaks, my brothers and sisters. I want you to look at a scripture, Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. And what happened here to the children of Israel. It says, they set out, verse 4, they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient because of the journey. Became impatient. You know that word I want to underline. It's when we get impatient with one another, particularly with those we live in 24/7, that we begin to grumble and complain. And that's what happened here. The people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us. And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. And that's a symbol of Jesus dying on the cross, taking up your place and mine on that cross. It was God didn't want them to worship the serpent. That's why later you read that God, you know, asked them to destroy it. But it was a symbol. When they complain, you know, that if they turned in repentance, they said, we have sinned. And that's what happens when Jesus is a symbol of that, of what happened there in the wilderness. And when we, it's not just grumbling and complaining, but every other sin that if I acknowledge and repent of, if I've been bitten, and all of us have been bitten, I can be forgiven. I can be healed. We look to the crucified Christ and we can live. That's how it is. The leaks can be plugged and we can overflow again. And Paul says, you know, this word in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6, he says, now these things happened as examples for us that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. In verse 9, no, let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents. In verse 10, no, grumbled as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Verse 11, and hear these words again. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. I can never say that will not happen to me. That can happen to me. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No matter how long I've been in this church, no matter if I've served in sacrifice, it's happened as examples. And when I grumble and complain and find fault, I'm on a downslide. Decline begins, my brothers and sisters, not by missing meetings, not by less Bible reading and less praying. That may come later. Decline does not begin there. I want you to see the decline begins in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. When they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. When they knew God, they did not honor Him as God and give thanks. That's where decline begins. When I don't honor God and give Him thanks, whatever little benefit I have received, whatever little thing I received from the brothers and sisters, whatever little thing I've received in the church, that I'm not looking for a ministry. I've received much, not just little. I've received much. And when I don't honor God and give Him thanks, I'm on a decline. It's not by coming to less meetings. It's not by not spending time in prayer, not spending time reading the Bible, my brothers. When I fail to give thanks, decline begins. When I fail to recognize that God is good, and He's good all the time. And lastly, I want you to see the third thing in Hebrews in chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25. We don't have time to read before that, but Hebrews chapter 12. It speaks about coming to Jesus, about the mediator of a new covenant. Verse 25, see to it, it says, that you do not receive Him who is speaking from heaven. Who is speaking? For if those did not speak when they did not escape, when they refused Him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from Him who warns from heaven. And His voice shook the earth then, but now He has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heaven. And this expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude. Let us show gratitude. That's what the Holy Spirit says. In the King James, it says, let us have grace. And I want you to see, my brothers and sisters, true grace manifest in our lives is gratitude. Let us have gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Let love of the brethren continue. That will be the result. If gratitude comes from my heart, if I show gratitude, not, you know, to manifest it, that I'm grateful. I don't just say thank you, but there's an attitude of gratefulness. I will love the brothers and sisters continually, no matter what. That's an unfortunate chapter division there. Let love of the brethren continue. Because I belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That's the church. That's the body of Christ. The expression of that right here for 38 years. I belong to a kingdom. We are not the perfect church. We are not like some people claim to be the 144,000. We have heard the preaching here that it's possible that God can even put aside the lampstand if we go away from our first love. It's possible to sit in this church even for 38 years and be part of Babylon. But if I remain, if I belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken, then I must show gratitude. That speaks a lot to my heart, my brothers and sisters, and I know that that's how it's been in my life. I'm part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken, because while everything else is being shaken, all that is created, you know, by man is being shaken. We are seeing it happen in our days. Stock markets, banks, all kinds of things are happening. And more will happen in the coming days. God says He's going to, once more He says, I'm going to shake not only the earth, but heaven and the earth. When He removes those things which can be shaken, which are created, so that which cannot be shaken, which is not created by man, which is of the new creation, that's the church, only the church. And the whole world is peripheral to the church. That's why God has put you and me here, my brothers and sisters. Let us show gratitude. Let us show gratitude. It's not, like I said, writing nice things, saying thank you. That's good. It's not just teaching our children, say thank you. Do we teach our children to be grateful? I've sought to do that. Right up to today, to be grateful. No matter what opinions they may have, no matter whatever has happened and what they have, we go through different trials and problems with our families and with our children growing up, many things that they may experience in the church, but we teach them to be grateful. God is my witness. I've taught my children to be grateful. Even if they have suffered something from somebody else who's misunderstood or made some comment or judgment, I've never taken their side against any brother or sister in this church, even if I know that it. I always tell them if there's something there, even though it may be wrong, something, there may be something good you can take out of it, 1% at least. But don't have a wrong attitude. I sought to bring up my children in that. That they never grow up with a wrong attitude. Teach your children, my brothers, it's not just to be thankful, to be grateful. And if we ourselves are not grateful, how can we teach that to our children? If we don't show gratitude, how do we expect our children to show gratitude? Gratitude. To teach them, you know, to speak about, you know, occasions that may come at the dining table or while we are walking on the road or when putting them to bed at night. Something that, I'm not saying as a ritual, you know. I'm afraid to say these things because, you know, we follow the letter. Occasions when I can put gratitude in their heart. You know, you think of that brother. When, you know, when some conversation arises, don't you think, you know, we should be grateful? To have a heart of gratitude. I really believe that if you and I do that, my children are grown up. So many of you here with small children, teach your children to be grateful. To show gratitude, not just say thank you. I tell you, you'll do a lifetime job. And like I said, if we ourselves are not grateful, how can we pass that on to others? If gratitude is not overflowing from my heart, to my children, to my wife, how can I pass on to others? I want to close with this song. I'd like Padma to put it up on the screen. I think you would have heard it. It's sung by the Bill Gaithers. But you know, this song was written by an ordinary mother called Dottie Rambo, who died in a bus accident. And she's only known for one thing. That's my heart. She kept her family united. That's all they spoke about, the way she kept her family united. says, you know, remind me, dear Lord. I don't know if you've heard it. Have you sung it here, Keith, Suresh? You don't know it? Oh, it's a lovely song. If you ring, okay. It says, the things that I love, I hold dear to my heart. You go to the next verse. Go to the verse. Okay, that's the chorus. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Just remember I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. I want to end on that note. You know, the verse says, the things that I love, I hold dear to my heart, are just borrowed. They're not mine at all, even our children. Remember that. Like Pharaoh's daughter gave that little baby to its mother, not knowing it was his mother, bring up this child. That's what God says to you and me. So, you know, we can't hold them so close to our hearts. They're borrowed. God has loaned them to us. We bring them up. And he says, they're not mine at all. Jesus, only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. And the next verse. To deserve God's own Son, I'm not worthy of the scars. In his hands, yet he chose the road to Calvary. To die in my stead while he loved me, I can't understand. So remind me, dear Lord. And I want to end with that, my brothers and sisters. Let it be a month when we are reminded of all that God has given us and all that God has done in your life and mine, and putting me in the church. And let's cleanse ourselves from all complaining and grumbling. Let's really make this a month, not just of celebration, but a month where gratitude begins to flow out of my heart. God will do it. God will do it, not in your own strength. Ask Him this morning to immerse you in the Holy Spirit and fire. If He's never done it before, and if you have received that immersion, say, Lord, immerse me again, so that gratitude flows out of my heart. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you with all of my heart. I look back, I'm reminded of the pit that you took me from. I'm reminded of all the disillusion and frustration I had as a full-time Christian worker. And what I looked for and what I sought for, I thank you that I found in this church. I thank you for pouring into my heart the love of God. And that I have experienced that with others also, Lord. You've given me a brotherhood. You've given me something that I long for. All the years when I came to know you, I'm reminded of that, Lord, and many, many other things. Reminded too how you've borne with me. You carried me, Lord, when I could not walk. I thank you this morning. Remind us, dear Lord, of all your goodness and all you've done for us in giving us one another, and help us to be thankful and grateful for each other. Cleanse our hearts, cleanse my heart from all complaining and grumbling. Fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit of God come upon us this morning, baptizing us, Lord, with a heavenly praise, with a heavenly thankfulness, and a heavenly gratitude, because we belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So we bless you. I bless you with all of my heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for those you've given me to work with, for Brother Zach and Newton and their families. And for dear brothers and sisters, Lord, into whom you're pouring the love of God constantly, and that we can drink of those streams of living water from each other. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name I thank you. Amen.
One of the unique things about CFC, there are many unique things about CFC, but one of the unique things is, I'd like to highlight that this morning, that we have sought to connect people to the Lord. We heard this morning that we should walk in Him, rooted in Him, built up in Him, established in the faith, and receive the nourishment from Him. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you have been connected to the Lord, you'll get that life from heaven, life from the Holy Spirit. And you know, many people think fellowship means, you know, going together for a cup of coffee and visiting each other or exchanging shirts with each other. I want to say that's not fellowship. Fellowship is you have your individual strong connection with the Lord. And then you get that spirit of heaven, spirit of thankfulness, spirit of praise and worship. And because of your connection with the Lord, we also get connected to one another. I think that's a mystery to many people. Many people think fellowship means saying hi, bye, and you know, trying to be loving in a human way. And some of you may think we are a little reserved, because sometimes you expect in a human way things from people. Many people, you know, I heard people left CFC. Yesterday I met a brother and he was telling me, many of them found, they go to some other fellowship and they said they feel so accepted there. You know, I can make out it's all in a human way. But you know, brothers and sisters, if you've been here for some years, we've always encouraged you all to have a strong connection with the Lord. First thing I ask many people is, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? And sometimes they get upset with me, because I want to make sure that you know the Lord. I want to make sure that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. I keep on asking people. And in the same way, are you a disciple? And we want people to have a wonderful connection with the Lord, so that you can say, I came to CFC and I got a connection with the Lord, and that life from heaven is flowing. You know, the Zach has often spoken about living under the waterfall of grace. How many of you visited a waterfall? Not many? You should visit a waterfall. Every time I see a waterfall, I think of what the Zach says. Living under the waterfall, the water coming so forcefully, powerfully, and you feel refreshed. I see people shouting, screaming, they're excited. All the people I see, whenever I go to the waterfall, I see the people around, they're so happy. Nobody's gloomy there. And then you say, Lord, I want to live under the waterfall of grace, where your grace can come on me, and that will reach out to others, that we can bless the others. And I believe we should be able to say, I came to CFC, I got a connection to the Lord, and then my connection is growing stronger. That's what we heard for many years. I remember the first message I heard. You know what is that? To build your life on the rock by obedience to God's word. And I say, Lord, that's what I want even today. Rooted and built up. I believe you should be able to say, Lord, I'm rooted in love. I'm built up. Established means like seeing these concrete pillars. You can't shake it. Can you see that, brothers and sisters? The Lord has established me in the faith. Nothing can shake me now. And I'm only thankful. I'm just praising the Lord. And I'll praise Him evermore. Oh, maybe come to that wonderful life where you can keep just praising the Lord and thanking the Lord more and more and more. Nothing can stop you from praising the Lord. Amen. Yeah, we'll close with that song. This is my story. This is my song. Praising the Savior, not only all day long, especially this month, all through this month, say, Lord, thank you for all that I received from CFC. And let's take some special effort, brothers and sisters, to fill our heart with thankfulness. Lord, how much you gave me through CFC, all that I received. And after that, give thanks with a grateful heart.